Good evening, people of God. Good evening, people of God, and welcome to the Moment of Empowerment. This is your host and conference facilitator, Apostle Myrtle Johnson. Welcome. I bring you greetings by way of teleline on this evening as we go forward to empower you to be able to stand in these last and in these evil days. This show is going to be a show that is going to address topics that are concerning you. I am going to begin to minister on tonight about the topic prayer. Prayer. That is one of those foundational things that is critical to our walk with God. So regardless of where you are in your walk with God, prayer is critical. Prayer is going to be what is going to cause the hand of God to move concerning you. A lot of times you would really, really, really be shocked or surprised the number of people in the body of Christ that do not know how to pray. And when Jesus was walking on the earth, he gave his disciples a model, a blueprint, in order for them to go by, that as if they govern their prayers according to their divine blueprint. He basically was telling them that they would cause his hand to move in their situation. Glory to God. We know that we don't seek the hand of God, but we seek the very face of God, that whatever it may be that we're going through, whatever it may be that we're dealing with in the body of Christ as the corporate man or individually, we can go to the Father. Prayer is the way that we communicate to our Heavenly Father. Glory to God. We know that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he is right now making intercession for you as well as for me. Glory to God. And as we learn more about prayer, we can never learn enough about that particular subject because it is something that is so critical, and that is how we communicate with our Heavenly Father. There are different ways that I'm thinking right now that this show is going to be in parts, in different segments, but on tonight we're going to look at the blueprint that he had given unto us. One thing that I put a set out there on Facebook, those that want to join me by way of Facebook, you can join me at Bishop Keith Myrtle Johnson, and that is on Facebook. And there on that page, you can write or you can inbox me things that you would like for me to discuss. Amen. That will empower you to be able to walk in victory. I will meet you each Monday night by way of this line from the time of 6:30 p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. each Monday night. Amen. So whatever topics, I'm going to cover topics from foundational things to things that you're battling with, things that you may be struggling with, or just questions that you may have that you don't want to ask anybody else. You can just shoot me an inbox or email me, amen, at ApostleMyrtleJohnson@iCloud.com, and I will be happy to address those issues. But the question came, Apostle, why is it that sometimes I can pray, but I'm not receiving an answer? Glory to God. There is no wrong way to pray, but there is a divine blueprint that God has given unto us. I'm going to start out on tonight by reading from 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to look at chapter number 7, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 11 on down to verse number 18, and then I'm going to roll on into the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. In spite of what's going on in the world right now, God has given a prophetic word unto us as his children, and I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles first. Thus, Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Even right there, people of God, the Lord was letting Solomon know that prayer is going to be what's going to cause your house to stand. He basically was letting them know, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place, which was built on prayer, as a dwelling place where you can meet me. Verse number 13 says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. right there, the Lord basically was letting Solomon know that some things are going on, some things are going to be happening, because he said, when I shut it up, everything that's going on in the world is not Satan, but some things are a divine result of the hand of the Lord moving in the earth realm that we live in. He goes on and he says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal this land. He goes on and he said, now my people will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now, I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David, your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. The Lord was speaking to Solomon, and he basically was saying to him, if my people that are called by my name, not everybody is called by the name of the Lord. That is why there are many in this hour that are not praying unto God. But he was putting it out there. He said, if you would just call on me, and if you would humble yourself, because to get to a place where we cause the hand of God to move in his heart, to be bent towards us, we've got to humble ourselves and come to a place where we realize that it's not about us, but it's all about him. He says, and pray, that is commune with me, fellowship with me. Let me know how you're feeling, what's going on, what's on your heart, what's on your mind. And he said, and seek my face. He was telling him, you don't have to seek my hand when you seek my face, oh God, because my hand is going to move for you when you seek my face. And he said, and turn from your wicked ways. That means stop doing everything that is contrary to the word of God. Shunning from evil and doing what is right and what is good and what is pleasing unto God. He says, then I will hear from heaven. And he says, and I will forgive the sins that are going on, and I will heal the land. And I'm sure that everybody that is listening to this telecast, this broadcast on tonight, whether you're listening now or whether it's others that will listen that will come behind us later, will clearly agree that this land is in the need of a healing. This land is in need of restoration. When we think about all that is going on in this land that we are living in, we will clearly come to an agreement that we need God to intervene on our behalf. He says, for now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. The Lord is calling us to come back to strategic prayer. The Lord is calling us to come back to a place where we are seeking his face daily. There are many that are in the body of Christ that don't even take time out of a day to pray. Many don't know how to pray. Even when Jesus was walking with the disciples, you find over in the book of Matthew, that's the Second Chronicles is Old Testament, but the book of Matthew is New Testament. And he basically was telling them, he said, if you go back to verse number, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin looking at verse number 5 on down until we get into the blueprint of prayer. He says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrite. He was telling the disciples, and for those that may not know what a hypocrite is, that is someone that say one thing, but yet they do something else. He says, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. What God is calling for now, he's calling for the watchmen, oh God, that are on the wall that are praying, those that are praying behind the scenes, those that are standing in the gap and interceding on behalf of his people, glory to God. That's what he is calling for, that he is looking for in this hour. He's not looking for those that only want to pray when they're in the synagogue. He says, I'm not looking for those that only want to pray when I'm before a crowd of people. Oh God. He said, but I'm calling for those in this hour that are going to seek my face in a secret place. Glory to God. That's why he said in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty One. Glory to God. He says, I'm looking for those that are dwelling in the secret place. He says, I'm looking for those that will get up at the unction of my spirit and pray, not knowing what is going on in the realm of spirit, but out of obedience unto God will get up and begin to petition heaven on behalf of my people. Glory to God. And he says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. When you get up in front of people only to be seen and only to be heard, God is saying, you've already received the reward. He says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Glory to God. That's that Psalm 91 that is in action right here. We don't always have to be heard. We don't always have to be seen. We can go to God in that secret place, and the Lord will reward you openly. And the Bible says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God is saying, I'm hearing the prayers of the righteous man in this hour. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 5 and 15, something like that, it says, the prayers of the righteous man avail as much, but we have to always pray without ceasing. James says the prayers of the righteous man avail as much. But then in Thessalonians, he tells us that we've got to pray without ceasing. We've got to pray constantly, day in and day out. There is always something, people of God, that is going on that needs prayer. Hallelujah. Whether we see with our eyes what is going on, but we can feel those that are led by the Spirit of God. You will feel the heaviness that is in the atmosphere. That is the pulling on your spirit by God to pray. Hallelujah. He says, I'm calling you in this hour to pray, not waiting for a corporate prayer meeting to be called corporately. But he says, I'm looking for those in this hour that are going to pray day in and day out. Hallelujah. And he goes on and he says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard, for their words are many. God is saying, let your words even be few in this hour. He said, get straight to the point when we pray. Hallelujah. Sometimes we are praying prayers that are not going any higher than our knee because they're not holding weight in the spirit. He said, their prayers are going forth, but they're not saying anything. The prayers are going forth, but they're not touching the throne. We want to pray prayers, saints of God, in this hour that is going to reach the throne room of heaven. Glory to God. We can't pray a selfish prayer because it's not even about us, glory to God, but it's all about the kingdom of God and advancing it here in the earth realm. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask of him. Glory to God. So when we go to the Father and we begin to pray and we petition him on behalf of others, he said, I already know what the needs are. He said, but I'm waiting for somebody to touch and agree with heaven. He says, I'm waiting for somebody to touch my heart that what is needed can be released. So he went on and he said, then pray like this. And he gave them the blueprint. He gave them the outline. He gave them the instructions. He said, okay, for those that may not know how to pray, for those that are praying but you're not seeing any results, he said, for those that are petitioning me but you're not seeing heaven move, I'm trying to help somebody tonight, he said, those are the ones that I am leaving the divine blueprint. That's why back over in 2 Chronicles, the Bible says that if my people, which are called by my name, glory to God, if the intercessors that are called by God's name, he said, all you got to do is follow this blueprint right here, because it's going to touch everything that was prophesied back in the book of 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, the word of God says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said that they would hear from heaven and that God would heal this land. He said, okay, now I'm going to give you the blueprint on how to hear from heaven. Glory to God. He says, this is what you say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now let's look at this line by line, precept by precept. This is the very word that proceeded from the mouth of God himself. He said, we've got to, it says, when it starts out, it says, our Father in heaven. Right there, he said, you've got to, when you come to me, we cannot go, people, listen, we cannot go to the Father any kind of way and expect him to release from heaven. Oh, God, we've got to go to him in a spirit of humility and in humbleness. It says, our Father in heaven. Right there, you are humbling yourself and you are acknowledging him as the all-supreme God, the all-sufficient God. It says, our Father. So it was not just referencing that he's my Father, but we're making this thing corporate. He is all of our Father. Everybody that is going to listen to this teaching is going to get a divine revelation from God. He's letting us all know that I am all of you all's Father. So when you come to me, acknowledge me that I'm your daddy. Come to me acknowledging, first of all, that you are the ultimate one. There's no being that is higher than you are. So when we go to him in prayer, we say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. That is letting him know, Father Jesus, I'm coming to you. I'm not going to Krishna. I'm not going to Buddha. I'm not going to Muhammad. I'm not going to a foreign God. I'm not going to a dead God, but I'm coming to you. That is why we say, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We are referencing him as our Father, but yet we are referencing him as Lord, the all supreme one. It says, hallowed be your name. Hallelujah. That is letting him know that, Father, there is no other being that is higher than you are. You are the ultimate one. That is letting him know, God, I'm giving you some kudos right here. I'm letting you know that I'm coming to you because I need you. I don't need a foreign God. I don't need a dead God that cannot hear my prayer, that is not going to answer, but I need the ultimate God. The Bible lets us know that there's no other way to the Father except we go through the Son. If we try to get to him any other way, then the Bible tells us that we are, in fact, a robber or a thief. That is why we have to say, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. There is no other one that is higher than you. And then it says, your kingdom come and your will be done. Right there, you are conveying, we are conveying that, Father, we need you to intervene right here. Oh, God, I need you to intervene right here. Whether it's that we need God to move for the neighbors, whether we need him to move for the children, whether we need him to move over finances, over health situations, glory to God. It is letting him know, we're conveying to him that there is a need, your kingdom. And when you are a kingdom citizen, there is no lack. So basically, we are letting the Father know, I know, God, that I can come to you and there is no lack in you. There is nothing that you cannot do. There is nothing that is bigger than you. There is nothing that is higher than you. There is no principality that is greater than you. Hallelujah. You're just letting him know that your kingdom is coming, where there is nothing that's missing and there's nothing that is broken, and your will be done. The Bible tells us that it is his will that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. When we think about our soul is composed of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So that let us know that anything that concerneth us, we can take it to the Father, and he will answer us. It says that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would the Father say, be done on in heaven, be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because he was letting us know, when you come to me the right way, you're going to cause a collision in the spirit. That is when the spirit and the natural man is going to meet. That is when everything that is concerning you is going to meet and have a divine encounter with God. So whatever we are petitioning him for, that is, we are coming into agreement with God. And as we pray, a release is going to come forth, glory to God. And he said, give us this day Didn't say give us next week. Didn't say give us next year. Did not say give us next month. It said give us this day. That means right now, at this very moment, when we pray, we ought to be expecting to hear God give us a response. It said give us this day our daily bread. We know that same way in the natural, you need food in order to survive. It's the people of God. It's the same thing in the spirit. We have to go to God to get what we need in the spirit. It says, so that every need that we have is met. In order to be able to live, you got to feed your spirit man. Glory to God. In order to be, for your spirit man to catch up with what's going on in the natural realm, you've got to consistently feed and nurture your spirit and train your spirit. To pray and to intercede, it requires a great level of discipline in this hour. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've got to spend time with God, communing with him, loving on him, telling him how great he is and how good he is, that it will soften his heart, amen, that he will move on our behalf. And he says right here, and ask me to forgive us our debt. God already knows that we are a sinful people. He knows that we are as about filthy rags. Glory to God. But when we go to him and we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to just forgive me of all the wrong that I've done. And you want to cover every area, even whether it was whether you thought it, whether you said it, glory to God, or whether you actually carried it on out and you did it. But when you go to him in this blueprint, under these specific instructions, you're asking him, God, forgive me of anything, any sin that would stop you from moving, anything that would hinder your prayers from reaching the heavens. Glory to God. People of God, if you don't know, I just want to share with you, because we can't take for granted that people know, but sin will hinder your prayers from being answered. Yes, sin. That's why when he said in 2 Chronicles that if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, those wicked ways was that sinful nature. Glory to God. Those things that we entangle ourselves in that don't bring glory to God will hinder our prayers from reaching the throne room and then the answer being poured back out. And it says right here, as we forgive our debtors. Let's touch right here for a minute. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, I want to let you know your prayers will be hindered. Glory to God. If you have, not saying that they will automatically be hindered, because God can do whatever he wants to do whenever he chooses to do it. But sometimes the answer or what you are believing God to do is held up because unforgiveness is in our heart. So what if Susie Jane stepped on our toe 20 years ago? We've got to release all that stuff to God, that what we need him to do right now is not on hold because unforgiveness reigns there. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation. Help us, Lord. Help us not to fall into the hands of the enemy. When the enemy presents things before us, God strengthen us that we will be able to resist those temptations, those things that may be pleasing to our flesh, but bring no glory and honor to you, hallelujah, but deliver us from evil, hallelujah, that our prayers would not be hindered in this hour and in this season. When we think about all that is going on in this world, we need to follow the directive of God so that he can move on behalf of this nation, so that he can move on behalf of our family, our friends, our loved ones, those that we come in contact with, the things that he lay on our heart as intercessors and people of God to pray for and to pray about. We can go to him with a spirit of assurity. So someone may say, well, Apostle, I'm following that blueprint, but I'm not seeing any results. God is saying, where is your faith in this hour? What are you believing? When he says, those that pray, when you come to me, expect that I'm going to answer. Expect that I'm going to move. Hallelujah. Faith. He said, all you have to have is faith the size of a mustard seed. People of God, we can say, speak to the mountain, and the mountain has to remove itself. It has to crumble itself. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. If all of us come together and in love and in unity, and if we begin to bombard heaven on behalf of the government, on behalf of the school systems, on behalf of our children, our family, those ones that we care about that are not saved, the hand of God will move. When we look in the world and we see all of these diseases that the people of God are facing and they're battling each and every day, when we see the struggles, when we come together in unity on one accord, touching and agreeing with the Father which is in heaven, then the hand of God will move and heal this land and heal this nation. Do you believe God? When you come to him and you pray and you petition him and you lay on your face, are you believing that he's going to answer, or are you just making a lot of noise, crying out, but in the back of your mind, you don't believe what you're praying about? You don't believe that God is going to do it for you. People of God, he's calling our level of faith to come up to the next place in him, where we can believe God for the miraculous, where we will see the dead begin to get up again, where we will see the lame walk, where we will see those that can't talk begin to talk again, where we will see those that are in wheelchairs begin to walk again, where we will see cancer cells eradicated, oh God, where we will begin to see HIV leave out of people's bloodstreams, where we will see diabetes healed, glory to God, where we will see blinded eyes begin to see clear again, where we will see hearts begin to function that have been broken all over again. Well, we will begin to see, hallelujah, bodies healed, restored, hallelujah. Well, we will see families coming together in love and in unity and not in fighting and bickering amongst each other. When we begin to pray, we will see the hands of protection around our children, even as they go to school, glory to God, that those things that are in the school system will not attach itself to them. When we humble ourselves and pray, and when we seek his face, and when we turn from thinking that it's all about my family, but I'm not going to pray for anybody else's, when we realize, people of God, that this thing that we're living in called the earth realm, this world, it's bigger than us. Therefore, the problems that are in this world are bigger than us, glory to God. But when we come together and we just begin to pray and bombard heaven, he said, I'll do it. He said, I'll save that crack addict that's on the street corner. He said, I'll bring in that prostitute off the street corner, and she will realize that she don't have to sell her body to get money. He said, I will deliver that homosexual that think that because I'm yearning to feel love, that I got to turn to the same. He said, I will bring that alcoholic, that one that is strung out on drugs. He said, I will heal them where they're hurting and let them know that it's bigger than what they are. People of God, God is calling us to come back to a position in prayer. We don't even realize that is a seat of governmental authority. Those that pray, you have authority in the realm of the spirit, hallelujah, because you win favor with God. In 2 Chronicles, when you read on and down a little bit further, the Bible tells us, and he let us know, he said, if can I find one that will pray, hallelujah, he said, I'll spare if I can find somebody that's watching on the wall and can detect the movement in the spirit, glory to God. He's calling us people back to prayer. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. I thank you for every listener on this line on tonight. I pray, God, that they are empowered to seek you ever the more through prayer. It's my prayer, Lord God, that you would activate a spirit of prayer even on this line on tonight, that people will pray even in different dimensions of your glory. And Father, I ask you that even as they pray, Lord, that you will answer them, Lord God, according to your will. Father, I ask you to do a quick work, Lord God, in their life, God, that the mantle of prayer will be released even on this line, God. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in each and every person's life that chose to come and to just listen to what you had to say on tonight. Father, I pray that they will be blessed and that they will come back even on next week and they will share with somebody else as we continue to be empowered. Glory to God. You all do be blessed. I love you with the love of the Lord. Join me right back here. This is Apostle Myrtle Johnson. Until next week at 6:30, you all do be blessed. Amen.